Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today we'll be talking about fathers in Zion. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I'm joined by Elder Craig A. Carden of the Quorum of the 70. Welcome, Elder Carden.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Elder Carden, tell me quickly a little bit about your family.
We have, my wife and I are the parents of 8 children, 4 girls and 4 boys. They arrived, 2 girls, 2 boys, 2 girls, 2 boys.
Oh, that's right.
And the first 7 of them are married. The last is getting closer. I probably ought to be careful about how I say that, depending on who's listening to this and when this is heard. And we have 37 grandchildren.
Wow, that's great. So you're busy in the family experience.
We are. It's a joyous experience.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and I look forward to learning from you about this important topic. We also have joining us today is Adrian Ochoa, who is from the Young Men's General Presidency, and we welcome Adrian. Today, as mentioned, we want to talk about fathering. And one of my favorite quotes comes from actually President James E. Faust in General Conference. He said, "In my opinion, members of the church have the most effective cure for our decaying family life." And then he said this, "It is for men, women, and children to honor and respect the divine roles of both fathers and mothers in the home." So I thought this was a fascinating experience where he says, look, if we want to be able to address the problems we're having in society and in our home, one of the best ways we can do that is to have a better understanding of the divine roles, not just the roles, but the divine roles. So here's where I'm hoping that you can help me and those that are listening about putting this in context. When we talk about men and the role of men and the role of fathers in the home, to be able to focus on this context of the divine role, what our Father in heaven sees for men. So when I say that, Elder Carden, what comes to mind when you think of the divine roles of fathers?
Well, a couple of things initially, Brother Richardson. The first is I think that there is no father without there also being a mother.
Okay.
And in the divine purposes of our Heavenly Father, we recognize that according to His plan, truly, notwithstanding the challenges that are faced in life and often the unique circumstances, unique paths that individuals are sometimes asked by our Father to follow in this frail existence, there is, according to His plan, great joy in that relationship between a man and a woman, where they are both able to experience a closeness and a unity that is a part of our eternal identity, really. Not only our individual identity, but part of an eternal expression of exaltation.
You know, this is so good because actually, I think if I understand correctly or get a feel for what you're saying is, it's very difficult to talk about the role of fathers without considering the role of mothers and vice versa. It's really one within the same fabric.
Exactly. You cannot do it.
That's excellent.
So it's just that sense that there are, wherever there is a father, there is also a mother. And according to our Father's plan, they would be bound together eternally, and they would love and respect and honor one another. And the children that would be invited into their home, our Father's spirit children that would be invited into their home for their care and nurturing in this life, would then come to a home where they could be taught and reared in righteousness.
You know, Elder Carden, I love what you're saying here. It reminds me of a statement by President Hunter where he said that it's actually the father and mother who have a responsibility to determine the spiritual climate of a home. And I like that a lot, because sometimes I think when we talk about these roles, and today we're focusing on fathering and fathers in Zion, sometimes we get this notion of we segregate responsibility. And when it comes to determining things, some people say that's only one person's responsibility one way or the other. But I love this as a foundation, so that when we explore fathers in Zion, we need to understand that unique but yet divine partnership. Is that pretty close?
Yes, and I would just add one thought here. There are, in Scripture, there are two things that God has commanded us to love with all of our hearts. And you're familiar with this, but obviously. But one of them is, the first is God,
right,
the Father. And the second is our spouse, our wife. Those two things we're commanded to love with all of our hearts, and I find that tremendously instructive in terms of what our Heavenly Father wants us to understand and intends with both fatherhood and motherhood.
I like this. As a matter of fact, I can't help but think of a recent general conference where a talk on fathers was actually given by a woman, Sister Dalton. And it was a very powerful address. Wasn't it wonderful, Adrian?
It was wonderful.
So good. It was wonderful. And the theme of that was, fathers, love your wife. You know, or from a children's, love our mothers. Love our mothers. And one of the great things they can do is provide that. So this is really a good idea when we understand that concrete foundation for fathering.
Yes. And mothers is such an special role that I think the world, it doesn't consider it as important anymore, and that saddens me. It's we hear, and as we read the proclamation on the family, it talks about mothers. It says mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children, and it talks about how important that is. It's the essence of the mother, and when the child is being nurtured by the mother, since it's a little child, feels the love and the embrace of the mother, and that continues through life. I think
you're right.
And why is not that important? How can a human being grow physically, mentally, spiritually strong without that love of the mother and that embrace of the mother?
That's really good, and I'm grateful that you brought up the proclamation of the family. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to look up in that paragraph right there. It says fathers have a responsibility.
It does.
The proclamation was given in 1995, and President Hinckley actually delivered it the first time in public in the General Women's, the Relief Society meeting. I remember my wife coming home, and I always ask her, so how was it? And she says, I can't explain it. There was something unique that happened. And one of the things I love about this is in that meeting, right prior to the proclamation, President Hinckley said, the reason why we're giving this is, one of the reasons was, to be able to discuss what was happening, the sophistries of the world and the ever-changing climate. And so the world is having these changing ideas of roles on men, women, and marriage. And so then this prophetic proclamation comes out and says, wait a second, we want everyone to know, here's where we are from a prophetic mandate of what the roles of men and women. And you talked about the women. Do you have that for the men? And so it says, what we do for fathers.
Yes, it talks about fathers. And the proclamation states, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness, and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families.
That's good. So here's a question from the experts. What does it mean then to preside? In your experience, what does it mean if a father has a responsibility? That seems to be a responsibility, so they will be accountable to preside appropriately in this divine role. Elder Cardin?
Well, when I begin to think of presiding, I go again to that same paragraph and note the things that are said regarding parents. So now this is shared responsibility.
Okay.
So there's distinctions drawn to some extent between the mother and the father, but there are prior to that some commonalities that are addressed. And those things mention that parents are to love and care for each other and for their children, to rear children in love and righteousness, to provide for physical and spiritual needs, to observe the commandments, and to be law-abiding citizens. Now, that's not an exact quote, but that's
okay.
That's the nature. Presiding, then, in my mind, incorporates with this eternal companion who is one with you and who is in every sense equal with you. Now, seeing that those things are accomplished in the lives of children, these precious souls, these who have eternal identity now here upon the earth, needing to learn and grow. So presiding is just providing the form and some continuity in seeing that those things are accomplished.
I like this. Some people, when they think of the word preside, this is why I like the proclamation, is it says, let's set this concept, contrary to what the world is saying, let's set this concept of what our Father in heaven is asking of us. And some people look at presiding as almost an authoritative dictatorship experience, which is completely contrary as you're speaking. That's a different spirit of what you're talking about. But as a matter of fact, I like the word presiding. It actually comes from the Latin. And in the Latin, this is one of the things I really love about this, is it talks about, it says, to sit before. It's not to sit on, you know, kind of a thing. It's not, we're going to be an oppressive, but it's to sit before. And then I love this. We never really talk about this. In the Latin, preside actually means to guard. And for me, I think of this concept of fathering is, as you were speaking, I'm thinking, yes, we must guard the things, ensure the things that are supposed to be happening are actually happening. And that seems to be a responsibility of a father to ensure families are on track, not to sit on. Sit before, maybe that's the example part, and be an example, but make sure we guard those values within a family.
It's a great
Adrian,
perspective.
That's exactly right. And when we hear the word presiding, we're talking about the priesthood too. The priesthood presiding the home. And is it different from presiding anything else? Yes and no. First, no, if we go to Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 36, we'll hear this. It's a beautiful verse, that the rights of the priesthood are inseparably connected to the powers of heaven, and that the powers of heaven cannot be controlled nor handled only upon the principles of righteousness. So presiding in the home is upon the principles of love and righteousness. And so, yes, is presiding on that sense of righteousness and love. And on the other hand, it's presiding. I like to say this many times in my home. In my home, I preside, but my wife directs.
I met your wife, and I know your wife. And that's a good thing to allow her to do this, because I know Nancy well, and she is good at providing the proper direction.
She is wonderful, and I love it.
This is really great. I love this aspect because, in a way, for all fathers to be able to preside, to direct, however we look at this shared responsibility, they have a personal responsibility to live their lives in the manner that it reflects the Savior's way, the way that the Savior lived, the way that the Savior taught us to live, etc. There's a very beginning stage here, a focal point for fathers where we start with ourselves before we can be able to actually direct. Is that fair?
You've hit upon an essential point, a fundamental point, and that is that in this entire process, what we're attempting to do is to understand and to do the will of our Heavenly Father. And so through the example of His Son, we have an idea of what that is. And He has been very clear in making known those principles. And as we, as fathers, engage this sacred work, more important than any other on earth, in companionship with our eternal companions, then there is this responsibility to hear His voice, to understand His will, to respond when circumstances arise in a way that would nurture and build and strengthen as He would desire with our children. And in order for that to happen, just as you were saying, there must be this spiritual wholeness and completeness and integrity and cleanliness that allows for that communication to occur.
I like this. So what would you both say to a young father or a seasoned father perhaps that's listening to this and saying, okay, you know, I probably don't have my spiritual roots in order right now. How do I start? How do I get to the point where I can hear his voice? Because some fathers, when I talk to them, I'm at my wit's end. I just don't know what to do. And it's like, wait a second, there are things that can be done. So what advice would you give to these type of individuals who are saying, this sounds good, it feels right. Now, how do I begin this journey? How do I get myself in a position to hear the voice of God and have the Spirit direct me? What are some things that they could be doing from your experience? Or both of you have traveled throughout the world and have met men in every culture that are actually all struggling with the same things, I believe, as far as that goes.
Well, please, Adrian, go ahead.
I remember when I was a state president, so many sacred interviews, some of them with couples that came to me saying, we don't love each other anymore. And that was always a sad thing for me. And almost every time, the root of it was that the gospel, the Holy Ghost, was not in their lives.
Right.
One of them, if not both, but one of them would start to turn their eyes into other things of the world, started with little things, and just being drawn away from the things of the Spirit. And their attention was somewhere else. The treasure was somewhere else. So the Spirit was somewhere else. So the counsel always was, this is not something that we can do on our own. We need the help of the Holy Ghost, and we need to be humble enough to recognize it, and that we need to trust Heavenly Father that He can do miracles for all of us. So we need to repent, and we need to think not only about ourselves and the things we want, the things we like. And if you're not strong enough now to think of the things your wife wants or your husband wants, think of the things that Heavenly Father wants for you. And
I like
He wants
this,
the very best.
This is so good. Thank you. So if I hear correctly, is there's so many great things in that I was listening to and hearing. I love the concept of refocusing almost, is reevaluate and say, wait a second, where is my treasure? I think I heard you say that. And,
yes.
And then refocusing on the more important thing. And then here's the thing that I picked up. I thought, wow, this is so good, was the principle of sometimes we are focusing on the wrong things. We need to maybe push some of those things away. And I thought of Doctrine and Covenants section 25 in verse 10, where it says, lay aside the things of the world, and seek ye for things of a better. I just love the wording of the Savior there.
Yes.
Just don't seek for good things. Seek for better things. And maybe that's a good starting point for all of us. So some of us, we just need to seek a little bit better things. Some of us, we need to seek way better things. And the way to do that is, I like this counsel, lay aside those things of the world, start focusing, and then the Spirit can start to instruct. Elder Carter?
I would say, for just in addition to this thought, an added testimony to it really, is the thought that for a father of any age, young, middle age, older, a grandfather, the journey begins when there's a recognition that I'm hearing something that feels right and I sense that my personal life is not in order. It begins with the recognition of who you really are. Knowing in your heart, knowing full well, notwithstanding your circumstances, notwithstanding where your own assessment may be, you need to know that in God's terms, you are a valued, valiant son. It starts there. And then with that recognition of who you really are comes the realization that in this frail existence, you are going to be buffeted about by many things, and there's only one sure source of strength, and that is with the Lord. And you begin to understand and trust Him when He says, I know you, I love you, and when you repent, I will forgive you. So you may trust in that. And then with great faith in who he is and what he has done, you begin to then exercise faith in the enabling power of the atonement, where you become strengthened in overcoming whatever weakness you may be facing through his power, and exercising faith in the moment of need and always. And then you are the recipient of this marvelous redeeming power of the atonement as you continue on with that. And in that process, you hear that voice. You hear and you begin to sense and know, and you're directed in what your responsibility should be as one of his valiant sons and as a father or a grandfather.
I like this. As a matter of fact, I think that there's great power in what you're saying is I like the starting point that you mentioned is to know that you're a valued son. And for me, there's an interesting relationship going on with this. There's many individuals, they've really not had a very good role model of a fathering figure in their own lives. They've never really seen one.
That's a great point.
And so I like what you're saying is, okay, if you want to learn the value of you being a son, then you need to look to the father, the great example, which all of us technically have or have to rediscover that. I love this. So as we turn to our Father in heaven, or even as we turn to Jesus Christ, who is the beloved son, and start to see principles of what it is to be a son through the Savior in that aspect, it always brings us back to God the Father. And then we see our personal worth. This is so powerful because this would apply to every single male on this planet. Every, regardless of their circumstance, with a good father or a poor father, they all have a loving father in heaven and the beloved son, Jesus Christ, for a mentor and a model to be able to help us to come to that.
Exactly.
You said something else that I thought was really powerful. You said a lot of things were very powerful, but there's another thing that I just wanted to throw out, maybe get some reaction to this, was you said is to exercise faith in that very moment when you need to. And I think that this is an interesting element. Sometimes I don't like to paint stereotypes, but sometimes with men, we are so focused on solving things. If we don't have time, I'll get to that a little bit later. Sometimes that crossroad is the critical element for the way that our lives will go, especially as fathers. That's what I found in my experience, is we need to exercise faith. We need to exercise a little bit more energy in the moment when it is needed. We might need to stand a little bit stronger and a little bit braver at the very moment when it's needed. And that is going to make all the difference in the world to have strength to do it again. Any thoughts on that from your own experiences?
Just the realization. I was purposeful in that expression, that there is in life this continuing challenge that we face, and we sometimes think in our minds, you know, I asked Heavenly Father about that on Sunday, and here I am facing the challenge in this moment, and why didn't He answer my prayer on Sunday? And it's a distancing and a separation of things that isn't consistent with what the Lord is trying to teach us, I believe. So we pray and we ask in anticipation of, but then in the moment of the challenge, we can know, if we really know who we are, and if we truly understand our that sacred relationship, then in that moment, we may with perfect confidence turn to Him and find the strength to address whatever needs to be addressed in that moment, exercising faith in that moment.
I like this a lot. As a matter of fact, sometimes I find I turn to Him in my garage when I'm coming home from a long day and saying, I am walking into the most important part of my life right now. And actually, I'm kind of tired. I've spent 8 hours doing the world's work, which is a necessary part. We'll talk about that perhaps in our next episode on fathers. But I turn to my Father in heaven in that garage before I walk in that house, and I plead for help and to know how to be able to meet the needs of the people I love the very most. And that is an exercise of faith, I think. I love this. Well, sadly, we're out of time, but I just want to ask very quickly, is there one last just small tidbit? I know there's so many things, and we could talk about this because this is a topic worthy of talking about for longer periods of time, but that you might say to a father and saying, okay, when it comes to understanding that divine role, please do not forget this or consider this. Just a very small snippet since we're short on time. Adrian?
I remember when I received my son in the hospital,
had don't no, we all?
it had no instruction manual, and it was terrifying. And since that moment to now, I learned that I cannot do it alone. I love my wife, and she's so much within the Spirit. We like to pray together, read the Scriptures, and we acknowledge, I acknowledge, that without the help of Heavenly Father, we don't know what to do. But with His help, we will always know what to do.
I love that. Thank you. Elder Cardin?
To every father, I would say, do not ever forget your divine role and the essential nature of that role, and trust your Heavenly Father in searching for the strength to fulfill it.
Well, thank you so much. I have appreciated learning from both of you, and this is one of the sad parts for me is for those who are listening, they don't get to see you as you're speaking and feel the power of your presence, and I hope that that is communicated because I have felt that, and I know that our Father in heaven strengthens us. When He asks us to do something, He will always strengthen us. Well, President Watson has always said, whom the Lord calls, He qualifies, and that's available to all. Thank you. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.